That was a blessing. Amen. Aiden, you're dismissed to go to your class. Deb, if you have a Bible, Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. It's a great book of the Bible. For years, I don't do it any longer, but for years I read a chapter in Proverbs, one chapter for every day of the month, and read through that. And 1 year, you read through it 12 times. And there's a lot of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, a lot of wisdom there, and help for us, amen? There's warnings, there's instruction, there's all kinds of stories there. But we'll just read one verse. This is Proverbs 23, and let's read verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. When you're around wise people, amen, it's a blessing, and it's encouraging. And that's what we're going to look at today. If thine heart be wise. Father, bless your word. Thank you for it. Pray, God, that you'd give liberty and wisdom and power to the word today. May you meet every need that's here. May you encourage, may you comfort, just whatever it is, Lord. I pray that we go home different than when we came. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a commercial on TV, I don't know if you've seen it, and a guy's not a doctor, he's out on the street and he's checking people, their heart, and he says, how's your heart? Anybody seen that commercial? And he goes, how's your heart? And the one lady says, oh, my heart's fine. And he says, are you sure? And she says, well, I think so. And then he says, put your two fingers right up here. And it's a little thing that reads and gives you all the meanings, the readings of your heart. Well, we can do that with this. Amen? We can put our two fingers there and see what our spiritual heart is like. And I think that's what the intent of the message is today. It's just take a look at it, see how your heart is. Amen? See what God would do for your heart. Be a blessing if he could cure all physical ailments, but I know that he can certainly cure the spiritual ailments. Cars have idiot lights, you know, oil lights, lights that go on, and they tell you something's wrong with the engine. Amen? They're supposed to, when you see the light, you're supposed to go get it checked out. Oh, that's a pretty light, you know? I never noticed that before, a nice red light. Or when you hear the siren go off for the tornado warning, you say, boy, it's 2 a.m, it's a funny time to test the siren. No, it's probably a real deal. So today, if God speaks to your heart, I'm sure he will, that you would just follow his advice, and I think you'll be the better for it. Webster gives us a definition of the heart. The inner part of anything, the middle part or interior, the seat of the affections and passions, as of love, joy, grief, enmity, courage, pleasure, etc. It's the innermost. He goes on to say, the heart is deceitful above all things. These are Bible verses. Back in Noah's time, every imagination of the thoughts and intents of the heart are evil continually. We read an honest heart, good heart, evil heart, an evil heart of unbelief, a willing heart, a heavy heart, sorrow of heart, a hard heart. These are all terms in the Bible. A proud heart and a pure heart. The heart faints in adversity or under discouragement. That is, courage fails. The heart is deceived, enlarged, reproved, lifted up, fixed, established, moved. The Bible is full of stories about this, full of examples, full of descriptions. And if we took a little bit of time, we could go around the room and say, now, which one of these describe your heart? Amen? And maybe we wouldn't want to talk about it, and maybe we would today. You ever have good days and bad days? You know, some days your heart's on fire for the Lord, and the next day you say, am I really saved? You know, and you go, you ride the roller coaster, and it's an inward thing, and it's a very personal thing. Only God and you know what's going on in your heart. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So to be saved, you have to believe with your heart. It's an act of your will. It's an act of your emotion that you accept Christ as your Savior. And then you're able to walk with God. You're able to know God. The scriptures come alive. You're able to be led of the Lord. It's just a wonderful experience, but it takes the heart. Lamentations 5:31 or 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. You know, when we observe something sad or happy, it affects us in here. I mentioned that my wife and I will watch Hallmark movies, and you watch that, and you know how it's going to end, but sometimes you're watching a movie, and there's a real sad part, and you're sitting there on the couch crying, and it's a movie. It's not even real, you know, or something really happy happens, and that's good. Happy happens. And you get all excited, you know, something like that. But that's your heart. I remember there was a man by the name of Glenn. I won't give his last name. Well, his name was Stansbury, Glenn Stansbury. And when I was pastor in Sturgis, and he had a little shop next door to the church that he was a printer. And we got some material printed over there. And I went to see him, and he never wanted to come to church. He said, if I come to church, the ceiling will fall in. And I talked to him in his house for a couple hours. And before I left, we were both crying. We were both weeping. He wanted to be saved, but he couldn't believe in Jesus. He just couldn't believe it, the gospel story. And I went over and over and over and tried to show this and show that. And he started crying. I'm crying because I wanted him to be saved. Next, he didn't get saved. Next Sunday, he came to church, and he looked up to make sure the ceiling wasn't going to fall and hit him. But he got saved in that service. Now we had tears of joy. Amen. And you see the difference in the emotion. It's good to have emotion. I mean, it's really good. If you're just like a rock, you know, that's not a good thing. There's things to be happy about, things to be sad about, things to be worried about. But mine eye affecteth my heart when you observe certain things. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. That speaks of submission. So we obey the Lord because we love the Lord. You have Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so there's direction that comes from your having a good heart. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why the Bible gives so much instruction on think on these things. If you're a negative thinker, guess what? Garbage in, garbage out, right? And so there are things that God wants us to think about, not evil surmisings. He wants us to think about the truth, how good he's been. Don't forget his benefits. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind and all the different verses that talk about that. And so that's an important thing, too. And then I think as we focus on that, there will be a change. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, think of the weight of these verses. I'm going to give you a lot of verses today. One would be fine to get you thinking. But think of the weight of this verse. Keep thy heart, that's your responsibility, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything comes out of that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? And see, that's an inward thing, but that's something that we're responsible for. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the treasure, good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In James chapter 3, the Bible talks about the tongue. And it says it's set on fire of hell. And there's power in the tongue. There's power of life and power of death. But sometimes we can become a tool of the devil. The devil wants us destroyed. The tongue is set on fire of hell. No man can tame it. The Lord has to tame that. You ever say the wrong thing? You ever think about saying the wrong thing? You know, and thank God you didn't say the wrong thing. But I don't want to be a tool of the devil. I want to speak the words of truth, speak the words of God. Amen. That's a blessing. But we have to keep that in mind. In the book of Job, I spoke about this last week, but Job The devil came before the Lord and says, if you take away all that he has, take his wealth, take his kids, take all that, he will curse you to your face. Chapter 1. Chapter 2, after Job, he made it good. He got through the trial. In chapter 2, the devil says to the Lord again, if you touch his flesh, if you make him sick, he'll curse you to your face. And he passed that test. And then his wife comes along and says, curse God and die. That's what the devil was trying to do, make him curse God. And so here's his wife, why don't you curse God and die? And she became an ally with the devil and not with the Lord. And we can do that too. You have in Genesis 3, yea, hath God said. That's what the devil said. And anybody that would attack your faith or cause you not to believe in the word of God, that's not a good thing. Amen? So we're supposed to be strong in the faith. In Proverbs chapter 1, the wrong crowd says, come with us. Leave the right way and come with us on the wrong path. We find in Numbers where there was 12 spies and they went to spy out the land. Caleb and Joshua said, we're able to defeat the enemy and possess the land. But there were 10 spies that doubted that. And those 10 spies discouraged everybody else. The people didn't follow Caleb and Joshua. They wanted to follow the other 10 spies. And so they wandered in the wilderness. But here's the two verses. Numbers 32:9. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. Deuteronomy 1:28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Our brethren have discouraged us. We're not supposed to discourage each other. We're supposed to encourage each other. They had the word of God on this. This is what God wanted them to do, just like we have the word of God. And I want to encourage you to follow the word of God. Amen? I want to encourage you to step out by faith, to love one another, all of the different things that we talk about from the scripture, because that helps somebody else. Somebody comes into church, maybe they're down, you pick them up, amen? Or at least pray for them. Solomon, this affects every one of us from time to time. I don't know what your heart is like right now or what it's been like, but God wants us to have a heart of faith, a heart of comfort, a heart of joy. But Solomon, God says, what do you want, Solomon? You name it and you got it. And he says, well, I don't need power over the enemy. I don't need wealth. I need wisdom. And God says, I'll give you wisdom. I'll make you wiser than anybody. Listen to this verse. 1 Kings 11:4. It came to pass when Solomon was old. Nobody here is there yet. Amen. Still a bunch of young kids. When Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, as was the heart of David, his father. Turned away his heart to serve other gods. How could they do that? And when you read about that, the God of the Zidonians, the God of this, all of these different wives that he married. I don't know. He had, 300 wives or 1,000 wives and 300 concubines? That's a lot of... I'm not going to say it. But they discouraged his heart from following the Lord. That's amazing. Nabal, if you want to turn over there, this is 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel 25. David is running from Saul. And some of his men went to Nabal's and wanted to get some food. They were out in the wilderness. And Nabal didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so let's begin reading, verse 11. This is 1 Samuel 25:11. He said, shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my sharers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird up every man his sword. They're going to go kill Nabal, fight against Nabal, and they're going to take whatever they want to take. The principle behind this is they were protecting Nabal's flocks and his herds from other people. And they were just asking for subsistence. We come down to verse 17. And Abigail was a great lady. That was Nabal's wife. And she stopped David from doing the wrong thing. But this is where they describe. Look at the latter part of the verse. This is Nabal. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste. And then she took something. And her husband didn't know about it. She took something to David's men and to David because she didn't want all that slaughter. Verse 25. Not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal was his name, and folly was with him. She is talking to David, and she is saying, look, he doesn't have wisdom. He's a problem man. And down to verse 33. David listened to her advice, and he was so happy because he got so mad. You ever get so mad that you want to punch something? You know, punch a pillow, right? But I mean, people can get pretty angry. What's the deal on the road? What do they call that, Joe? Road rage. I mean, there's people that do stupid things when they're angry. Anyway, this man was such a man of Belial. He was full of folly, etc., etc. And Abigail took a meal out to David and said, don't do it. And here's David, verse 33. And blessed be thy advice, blessed be thou which thou hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. Praise God for a woman like Abigail. She was a peacemaker. She delivered David from the wrong thing. And obviously delivered her husband too. If you turn the page in verse 37, but it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him and he became as a stone. What did she tell him? She told him what she had done with David. And he didn't like that. And his heart died within him and he became a stone. Now, look at the next verse. And it came to pass after 10 days, or 10 days after, that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. See, he didn't die physically when he heard all that. He died emotionally. His anger took over, and he became like a stone. And then 10 days later, he died physically. The heart, you can gauge your own heart. You can gauge your own heart. And we've got more to say about that in just a minute. Psalm 143:4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. You know, I guess I should mention this one too, because this is in 2 Samuel. We just read in 1 Samuel. David knew of this experience, how Abigail saved him from doing that. And 2 Samuel, there's a man, let me paint a picture here. David is running from Absalom now. But there's a man by the name of Shimei, and Shimei is cursing David as he's going by. And a couple of David's mighty men, a couple of his strong men, his captains, said, let us go up and kill Shimei. And, well, I think I'll just read that. Let me just read it. This is 2 Samuel 16. And David said to Abishai and all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. He didn't fight fire with fire. Amen? That's the spirit he had, because he was a man after God's own heart. Think of that. A man after God's own heart. We've got all kinds of illustrations like this. David in Psalm 73 said, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped when I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Here's Proverbs 23:17. Let not thine heart envy sinners. So there's a warning for that. It's real important. When the heart is right, there's nothing like it. Three verses in the Bible talk about a merry heart. Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Amen? And you can smile and not have a merry heart, but I mean, if you have a merry heart, you just smile. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. That's a good verse too. Here's another one. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So you've got a cheerful countenance, a continual feast, and it's like a medicine. That's good. That's what we ought to strive for. I want that heart that's right with the Lord. Matthew Henry said, praising God is work that it is its own wages. As you do it, it's just a blessing as you do it. Solomon, at the dedication of the temple in 1 Kings 8:38, said, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. Every man shall know the plague of his own heart. That's an interesting scripture. It's the only time it's mentioned in the Bible. And spread forth his hands toward this house. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. Bible is saying here that if you know that you have a problem, a heart problem, the plague of your own heart, if you go before the Lord and ask him to help you, that he will help you. He heals the brokenhearted. Amen. That's his work. That's what he does. And we'll see that in a minute. But as we do that, then we can have that merry heart and our lives will change. Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me. You ever pray that prayer? You know? You just go to the scripture and you put your fingers there. I don't mean literally. I mean, you know, what's the old saying? Let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages. How many are old enough to know that? Oh. Okay, quite a few. Amen. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Jeremiah 8:22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? One of the men in our church just had a heart test, and they put some dye in him, and it caused his heart to stop. Praise God, there was a physician there. Amen? And there was somebody that got his heart started again, and he's alive and well. Well, we have a great physician. He's called that. There are physicians of no value. You can spend all that you have, you know, and you're none better, and you'd rather grow worse. But when you find the Lord, there's nothing like it. And he uses his word to heal us. And our hard hearts, our troubled hearts, our faithless hearts, he can heal all of those things. Psalm 61:1 is a prophecy about the Lord, and he came to bind up the brokenhearted. And it's fulfilled in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's the ministry of our Lord. We're saved by giving our heart to him. My son, give me thine heart. And then he saves us. And then he works on us. He helps us. He heals us. In Luke chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. All the fitness he requireth is for you to feel your need of him. If you need something, if your heart is cold, if it's hard, you go to the Lord and you pray, and he will heal that. He will help that. Remember in Revelation chapter 3, the last church mentioned is the church of the Laodiceans. I believe that's the church age that we're in. And they said, we have need of nothing. And the Lord says, oh no, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked, you have a great need. But they didn't realize they had a need. If they would have come, God could have met the need. Amen? And that's all he's asking today. In in the scripture, the Bible talks about be kind one to another and then tenderhearted. That's good advice. So we're to be kind, amen, and we're to be tenderhearted. But here's a warning, and this is the message. That's my introduction. Here's the message. Psalm 95:8, harden not your heart. That's a pretty good warning and request. As in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. What did they do? They tempted God. They weren't content with his power, his leadership, his direction of their lives. They had no faith in him. And harden not your heart is in the provocation. That's Psalms. Here's Hebrews 3:8. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, same thing. Hebrews 3:15, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, this is February 23rd, 2025, amen. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. He wants to make sure he gets that message. You know, if God says something once in the Bible, it's important. But when he says it four times, he wants you to get it. Here's Hebrews 4:7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Boy. Proverbs 21:29. A wicked man hardeneth his face. You ever see somebody that's really angry? Their face looks funny. Not in a laughter sort of way, just a strange way. I mean, give me a mean look. Can anybody give me a mean look? It's hard to do when you're laughing. Amen? But it says, a wicked man hardeneth his face. There was a fellow back in the scriptures in the beginning of the book of Genesis. There was Cain and Abel. And Cain killed his brother and buried him. And when the Lord came and said, where's your brother? He says, am I my brother's keeper? The Lord knows everything. Amen? And the Lord said to Cain, why is thy countenance fallen? Sin lieth at the door. Amen? So we're talking about a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. You can have a sad countenance. You can have a disappointed countenance. But there's a hard, harsh countenance that we don't need to have. I think I mentioned this. I'm sure I mentioned this. But in Sturgis, I was pulling up to an intersection, and a lady in her car was coming this way, and she was supposed to stop, and she went right through the light. And I gave her a mean look. I did. I gave her a mean look. It was the old truck driver in me, Joe. I gave her this mean look. And a couple seconds after I gave her the mean look, I recognized her. She was a member of our church. Yeah, and I go, you know, I can't even do it now because it's funny. But, I mean, I turned my head and I gave her this mean look. And she went through and she gave me a surprised look, you know, a fearful look, like she almost got hit by. Anyway, you can make that look. And your countenance, the Lord's countenance, think of the Lord's countenance. Think of it. The beauty of his countenance. Well, here's another one. That's hardeneth his face. Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Stiff-necked, stubborn. Back in those days, if one king conquered another king and that king would not bow before him and say that he was now a subject of this king, they'd cut his head off. That's the principle. He that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, not without remedy. So, hardened his face, hardened his neck. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. Out of the heart the mouth speaketh. Amen. All of that, our service for the Lord, our love for him, everything, how we minister to people, what we do in life, how we live. And if we have a hard heart, we can fall into mischief. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, wrote, just pray for a tough hide, but a tender heart. Amen. Tough hide, tender heart. Matthew chapter 5, I think it is. love the Lord thy God, the first and greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength. And the second commandment is like it unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. 1 John tells us, if you say that you love God and hate your neighbor, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Heart's not right. Amen? So whenever that hatred comes up, that, you know, that ugly, ugly anger, we're to take care of it with our heart. David said in Psalm 51, he's confessing his sin. And by the way, he was a man after God's own heart, David. He says, create in me a clean heart. That's his prayer. David said, create in me a clean heart. And then he said, renew a right spirit within me. And then he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. But he started with, create in me a clean heart, because out of the heart flow the issues of life. That's the way it is. So, how's your heart? Well, fine. Are you sure? I think so. Put your fingers here. And so you go through the scripture, amen? Because that'll clean you. You're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You ever think about this, and I'll close with this. When Jesus was on the cross, and they came to see if he was dead, they put the spear in his side. Remember that? And what came out? Water and blood. Water and blood. And they tell us that that meant that his heart was broken. He loved you so much that he gave himself for your sins, for the sins of the world. I can't even imagine it. Linda and I talk about this, and you can't even imagine. But that eternal God died for us out of love. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Maybe you don't love the Lord today the way you should, or maybe your faith has gotten weak. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe the will of God troubles you. Whatever the need is today. Solomon said, go to the temple and lift up your hands and pray. Well, we're in church today. You can lift up your heart and pray to God. Just ask him to help you. Father, you're so good to us. You bless us so much. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the grace and the mercy. And I pray, Lord, that today our hearts would be right before you. We do pray that you create a clean heart within us. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Renew a right spirit within us. For thy honor and for thy glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.